Naya Gopinjana Ba La Ba Giri Varadari Jaso Dana Dana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Manachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Vishnu Pai Panamaham Sivir Raja Kacharya Ashutara Shudashi Shri Maharaj Vangri Sisi Bhakti Vananta Swami Prabhupada Ki Raja Granta Shri Maharaj Bhagavatam Ki Samveda Bhakti Vrinda Ki Nitai Gopri Nandi All glories to the seven devotees Aglaise Shishagran Gauranga. O Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. O Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. O Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Canto 4, Chapter 30, Text 9 and 10. Text 9 says this: Yo anus smarati sadhyayam yushmana nudinam naraha tasha bratrishatma samyam tata bhuteshu sohridam. Translation: The Lord continued, those who remember you every evening of every day will become friendly with their brothers and with all other living entities. Text 10. Yetu mam rudra gite na sayam prata samahita stuvantyaham kamavaran dasye pragyam cha shobhanam. Ye tu mam rudra gitena sayam prata samahita stuvantyaham kamvaran dasye pragyam cha shobhanam. Yea, those persons who to but mom unto me Rudra Gitena by the song sung by Lord Shiva. Sayam in the evening, Prata in the morning, Samahita being attentive, Stuvanti offering prayers. Aham, I, Kamavaran, all benedictions to fulfill desires. Dasye, shall award, Pragyam, intelligence, Cha, also, Shobhanam, transcendental. Translation and poor purpose, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation, those who will offer me the prayers composed by Lord Shiva, both in the morning and in the evening, will be given benedictions by me. In this way, they can both fulfill their desires and attain good intelligence. Purport, good intelligence means going back home, back to Godhead. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 10:10. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam. Dadadmi buddhi yogam tam yiramam upayanti te. Quote, to those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. One who offers prayers to the Lord to fulfill his different desires must know that the highest perfection of fulfillment of desire is to go back home, back to Godhead. In this verse, it is indicated that those who remember the activities of the Prachetas, the sons of King Prachina Barhishat, will be delivered and blessed. So what to speak of the sons of King Prachina Barhishat, who are directly connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead? This is the way of the Parampara system. If we follow the Acharyas, we attain the same benefit as our predecessors. If one follows the decisions of Arjuna, he should be considered to be directly hearing Bhagavad Gita from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no difference between hearing Bhagavad Gita directly from the Supreme Lord and following a personality like Arjuna, who formerly heard Bhagavad Gita directly from the Lord. Sometimes foolish people argue that since Krishna is not present at the moment, one cannot take direct instructions from him. Such foolish people do not know that there is no difference between directly hearing Bhagavad Gita and reading it, as long as one accepts Bhagavad Gita as it is, spoken by the Lord. However, if one wants to understand Bhagavad Gita, by its imperfect interpretations, one cannot possibly understand the mysteries of Bhagavad Gita, even though one may be a great scholar according to mundane estimation. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Agyanta Nirandasya, Giranjana Shalakaya, Chakshurumi Tamina, Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yina Bhutale Swayam Rupakadam Hayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpaturubhya Sha Kripa Sindhu Bhireva Cha Patita Nam Pamanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadar Harshavasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So it's being mentioned here, if one can simply remember the Prachetas, then so many auspicious results will come from that. They'll gain friendly behavior with their brothers and with all the living entities. They'll be given, they can have their desires fulfilled, and they'll be given good intelligence just by remembering the Prachetas. So this is indicating here, and what Prabhupada is discussing here, which we'll try to discuss briefly, is the power of remembering a devotee. Generally, our process, we mentioned, Krishna also says, we should always think of him. Mamana bhava ma bhakto, mam yaji mam namaskaru. We should worship him, we should offer obeisances unto him. But more powerful than thinking of Krishna is thinking of a devotee of Krishna. They're more powerful and more essential for the development of actual Krishna consciousness. And what is the evidence of that? Krishna himself descended into the material world for the benefit of the jivas, to give them enlightenment. and therefore he spoke Bhagavad Gita. He performed so many activities in order to give enlightenment. But after disappearing from this world, he didn't feel that he was able to, he didn't feel successful in his endeavor to actually give the enlightenment the jivas need to actually attain Krishna consciousness. Therefore, he came back as a devotee in order to teach the same thing he taught as Krishna, but he came back as Mahaprabhu in order to teach the same thing, and that way show by example and also by same precept but in a more digestible way how to become Krishna consciousness, how to attain Krishna consciousness. Therefore, to think of Krishna and his activities is not as powerful as thinking of Lord Chaitanya and his activities. And his to think of Krishna, this is especially for the practicing devotee, neophyte devotee, newcomer, that to try to think of Krishna's activities is not also possible without janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatutaha. Krishna's activities are divyam, transcendental. That means they're inaccessible if you're captured by the modes of material nature. Krishna says this thing in Gita also. Tribir gunamayar bhavayar. What is that verse? I like this verse. It's a verse right before 7:14 Gita. 7:13 Gita. Tribir gunamayar bhavayar. Ibisar ramidam jagab. Moritam nabijan nanti mame bhya paramavinyam. Krishna says this thing that those who are under the modes of material nature, they cannot know me because I'm beyond the modes of material nature. Mohitam, they remain bewildered because they're under the modes of material nature. So Krishna, Krishna's associates, Krishna's pastimes, they're all beyond the modes of material nature. So Krishna is just told that if you are under the modes of material nature, you'll not be able to enter into those things. It's transcendental, divyam. Janma karma chame divyam, evam yoveti tatutaha. One who can understand my janma, my karma, in truth, then that can be delivered. But in order to understand it in truth, you have to be beyond the modes of material nature. This is a dilemma. Krishna doesn't always point out all these details, but if you read Bhagavad Gita carefully, you will see that I'm trapped. In fact, Krishna says in the next verse after 7:13, he says, there's no possibility of crossing over the modes of material nature. But it can be done if you think of me, surrender unto me. But in the previous verse, you said, I cannot even know you, how I surrender unto you. See, the trap, it's like a trap. Krishna just said, I am beyond the modes, you cannot know me, and the modes are insurmountable, and you should surrender unto me. But I cannot know you. How will I surrender unto you if I cannot know who you are? The dilemma. This is the dilemma of the jiva. Therefore, Krishna understands this is true, actually. I may trick, actually, to glorify my devotee. I've spoken this way to give preeminence to my devotee. This is Mahaprabhu's movement has made it very clear that preeminence should be given to devotees of Krishna and not so much to Krishna. This is actually the meaning of Radhasthami that's coming up. The whole message of the Radhasthami is that preeminence should be given to the devotee of Krishna. Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnu aradhanam param tasmat param taram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. That if one studies all the Vedas, then one will understand of all modes of worship, worship of Vishnu is supreme. This is mentioned. But higher than worship of Lord Vishnu is worship of Tadiya. It means, in this context, it means devotee of Krishna. This is highest thing. And Krishna, even in his teachings of Bhagavad Gita, is actually indicating this, but it's hard. It's implicit. It's an implicit concept. You might miss it. I've just given one example. There are many examples in the Bhagavad Gita. I've given one example. Krishna says, I am beyond the modes of nature, and if you are not beyond the modes, you cannot know me, and the modes are also insurmountable, so that's a dilemma, and then you should surrender unto me, that person whom you cannot know. Therefore, preeminence is being given to a devotee here. That's the idea. So Krishna felt that, so he came as a devotee. So to remember Krishna is not as powerful as remembering the devotee of Krishna. Or say it the other way, to remember Krishna means to remember the devotee of Krishna. And then one is given the intelligence by which you can cross over the material existence. You understand my point? Neophyte devotees, they give a lot of emphasis on their relationship with Krishna without their emphasis on the relationship with devotees of Krishna. So, yeah, I am following Krishna. Just like many times you can meet many Hindu persons, they say, I am fully Krishna conscious. They don't say like that. They say, I am always chanting, I am always remembering Krishna. I'm like, you're not an Uttama Adhikari. I can tell by all the funny things you're doing from the altar, you're not an Uttama Adhikari. But they're thinking like this because neophyte devotee, they don't know. Sometimes they walk in right, they zoom right past Prabhupada, they don't even see the importance of, they think we just put this Prabhupada Murti for decoration for the temple. It's a nice decoration. They zoom, it's just a nice decoration. They zoom right past the altar, they go straight to Kishore Kishore, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. They don't see importance of offering their obeisances to Prabhupada on the altar, to Gornitai devotees. They go straight to Krishna. Therefore, they're doomed to rot perpetually in the material world. That's fact. That's a fact. We're not, this is not our cruel obstinacy. It is the verdict of the Shastras. Prabhupada said this thing in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said, many people say that they are good, but we say that only we are good and you are not good. This is not our obstinacy. It is the verdict of the Shastras. It comes in chapter 17 of the Adi Lila. So similarly, if one does not accept the necessity of his absolute subordination to a devotee of Krishna, then basically one is doing the perpetually rot in the material world, because one is not able to transcend the material world, the influence of the modes of nature in the form of so many unlimited misconceptions, without the power of remembering a devotee. So remembering a devotee here, Prabhupada is indicating actually two things. Remembering a devotee has two aspects. His achar, his activities, and his prachar, what he speaks. And there's two aspects of remembering devotee. You should remember his example, Shila Shiksha, his character, and his Shiksha, his instructions. Two aspects of remembering devotee. But of the two, preeminence should be given to what they speak. This is, although it's being mentioned, if you remember the activities of the prachetas, just by remembering the activities, one can be delivered and blessed, as we mentioned here. So what to speak of the sons of King Prachidin Barishat. But of the two, remembering their example and remembering their shiksha, the shiksha most important thing. Because they are very powerful persons and they do extraordinary things that cannot be imitated. So this is messages from Srimad Bhagavatam. In the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, this is at the end of the Ras Lila section. And Parashar Maharaj asks us, how can Krishna dance with other people's wives? You know, in Shukadeva Goswami, it is described, he looked a little bit agitated. Didn't I just explain 9 cantos of Bhagavatam? What is Krishna's transcendental position? You know, so he looked a little bit. Parashar Maharaj, out of compassion for foolish people, karmis, ganis, yogis, who were also assembled in that audience, So he asked this question for their edification. So then Shukadeva Goswami begins to explain that the principle of Ishvara, the powerful persons, that powerful persons' activities, even if they appear to contradict mundane piety and morality, it is not a discrepancy on their part because they are like fire. He compares them to fire. So just as fire can come in contact with an impure thing and purify that impure thing without becoming contaminated, in the same way, the Ishvara's powerful persons, they can purify, they can even do activities which appear contaminated without becoming contaminated, because they're powerful persons, they're transcendental persons. So he describes this here. Naita samantarej jatu manasapihanishvara. This is an important verse. Vinashatya charam bodhya yatarudro abdijan visham. So it says that if you are not an Anishvara, if you're Anishvara, that means you're not a controller. You're not transcendental. Anyone here not transcendental? If you are one is Anishvara, not transcendental. Not transcendental. Then, Naita Samantre Jatu Manasapi. Then one should not imitate the activities of Ishvara, even in his mind. He should not imitate. He should not even imitate in his mind. Why? Well, why not? Vinashati achara modya. If one foolishly does what they do, they follow their achar foolishly, then vinashati, you'll be destroyed. Then an example is given. Yata, just like Rudra, Shiva drank an ocean of poison. So you also think, I like that blue colored thing on his neck. I also want one of those things. Because sometimes conditioned souls get bewildered like that. They see someone wearing like an earring that like takes up the whole ear. And someone starts, I think I want one of those things. They also try to do. They see Lord Shiva has blue neck. It's called Nilakanta. Therefore, it's very nice. I also want a blue neck. I also drink the same poison he drank. Okay, go. And he dies. You cannot imitate. So why? Because Shiva is a Ishwara, and we are Anishwara. Understand? He's Ishwara. He's a powerful person, great transcendental person. He can do. And we are Anishwara. So if we try to do, even in our mind we try to do, we'll become polluted. This is an example that their achar cannot always be followed because they're transcendental personalities. Similarly, throughout our disciplic succession, our acharyas have done many extraordinary things that cannot be imitated. But if we say, I'm remembering their achar and want to follow their achar also, then you'll be destroyed. So then he continues here. This is nice verses, isn't it? Say yes. Ishradnam vacha satyam tatai vartaritam kwachit tesham yat swapacho yuktam buddhimams tat samarcharat. This is a very nice verse. It says, Ishradnam vacha, that the Ishwaras vacha satyam, their words are always true. Their words are always true. Tataiva acharitam kwachit. And their activities are exemplary when aligned with those words. You understand that point? Their activities are exemplary when aligned with their word. That means not all their activities are exemplary. Exemplary means an example to be followed. That the great souls, they set examples, and that example becomes the evidence for what we should do. Pramanam is the evidence of what we should be doing. But here it's being pointed out that only their activities that are aligned with their words are actually exemplary. That means not all their activities are exemplary. That is not to say that they're doing something deviant. It means that it's giving expression to the idea that they're transcendental. And therefore, they can do some things that we can actually follow. Understand that point? Therefore, only the things, because their words are always true, therefore, whatever example they are setting that follows their words, then those activities are exemplary. Te sham yat swab cho yuktam. So if you have to choose between the two, between swavacho yuktam, if you have to choose between the two, there's two options now. And you can follow all their example or the example that is aligned with their words. If you are buddhi moms, if you have good buddhi, then swavacho yuktam, then you'll connect with what they're saying. Those examples that connect with what they're saying, you'll follow those things. So I'm not sure that means you should perform those things. That's if you're a buddhi man. If you have good buddhi, then you'll follow those things, those examples that follow their words. Otherwise, as previously mentioned, one will be completely destroyed. So there are two things to be followed from great person, and to be remembered, their activities and what they speak. And of the two, we have to follow what they teach. That example has to be accepted. Otherwise, there's all inauspiciousness. Like, for example, we heard this past time, Srila Prabhupada walking into the kitchen and taking, a gulab jamun or something. And it wasn't even fully finished. It wasn't offered to Krishna. And he just popped one in his mouth, you know. And all the devotees were like, because neophytes is like black and white. So, you saw that. Then they were thinking, yada charati sheshtas. Let us follow that example also. So then Prabhupada immediately told them that I can do that, but you cannot. And immediately, oh man, one becomes disappointed. This is a simple example, so many examples, and grave examples also. This simple example that you have to follow what they speak. Not always what they're doing. You can only follow what they do when it's aligned with what they're speaking. That is the path of auspiciousness. So the Prabhupada is giving expression to this idea that we should know that when a devotee speaks, that is a delegation of Krishna. That is a delegation of Krishna. Many times it was mentioned here, Teshan Satata Yuktanam, Bhajatam Priti Purvakam, the Dabi Buddha Yogam Tanya Namam Puyantite, that if we shall worship Krishna 24 hours a day with love, then he will give the intelligence. So many people spend their time trying to figure out how Krishna is directing them. And of course I get bewildered because it's how do I, many times this question is asked by, how do I know it's my mind or if it's the super soul? Who are you? You're just a nonsense conditioned soul like the rest of us. Of course, the guru may not give that type of answer, but I want to give that answer if someone asks me. What type of nonsense are you? I mean, what were you doing just a few days ago? What type of activities? You can delineate the activities you were doing. And you're thinking, how do I know if it is super soul or if it's my mind? It's obvious. Next question. Obviously, it is mind. It is obviously the mind because one cannot have that type of direct connection unless they're totally transcendental. Totally transcendental. They cannot say. Therefore, Krishna has appeared externally as the guru, as Vaishnavas. So when we hear from them, I'm giving emphasis to what they speak, when we hear from them, then that hearing we are taking as a delegation of Krishna. It's not that, oh, this is a devotee's opinion. It says for a good disciple, then the suggestion of the spiritual master is an instruction. And for the bad disciple, an instruction of the spiritual master is a suggestion. A suggestion. And because many times our gurus, not in this room necessarily, may know we're not surrendered, so they may say it like that, I'm giving you a suggestion, because they know as an instruction, you'll anyway take it as a suggestion. And you will fall down for committing on guru aparad. So therefore they say, I'm giving you a suggestion. But for a first-class disciple, he takes the guru's suggestion as an instruction. Therefore, if he doesn't like the suggestion, instruction, however he's seen, then he will immediately put forth a party prashna. He'll ask a relevant question because he's confused. So the devotee is not so much concerned, how am I being directed by Krishna? Because he knows I'm a rascal. This is Trinada Pusunichinanda. It's just accept. You know, Dhyanam means accept. I'm a rascal. You have to accept. That is the beginning of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, you cannot hear anything, actually. Without accepting I'm a rascal, how can you hear? If you're thinking I'm also God, okay, that was a good class, but you know, there were some points you could also elaborate upon. And you don't think that you're a rascal, that means you cannot hear anything. So therefore, most of the time, most persons have a hard time hearing. We used to think, someone says, what is the solution to our problems? We say, just hear. They become very disappointed. Oh, that is such an easy thing. Try it out. Not so easy thing. We used to think, hearing is so easy. If I can just keep my head on my shoulders, that is the only difficulty. Because many times the head, especially baritone speakers, you know. So if I can just keep my head on my shoulder, what is the difficulty in hearing? But even after you can stay fully awake and you're not even distracted, you find it is so challenging to actually hear. It is a very difficult thing to hear. So that hearing for one who is fully sincere, he takes that hearing to be the delegation of Krishna. Krishna also says, Acharya Mahavijaniyam, Navamani Itakarichit, Na Martya Buddhasuyeta Sarvadeva Mayaguru. You should know the Acharya as myself. So the devotee is not seeing, let's say, disciple, student, he does not see the guru or Vaishnava as just Vaishnava. Oh, another jiva like me, I am jiva, he's also jiva. But he sees the delegation of Krishna to answer all his doubts and inquiries and his confusions, etc. So Prabhupada is saying here that if you shall hear from a devotee of Krishna, that is the same as hearing from Krishna directly. Same. One should not think, oh, Krishna is not here, how will I take guidance? Someone, many times atheistic people who have no intention of surrendering to Krishna give this argument. I saw one time I was distributing books at Midway Airport, we were about to Nandana Prabhu, and I think he stopped one Muslim guy. And one Muslim guy said, okay, I'm prepared to take direction from Krishna, but he is not here on the planet anymore. How will I take direction? He was saying this thing. Then he said, when did Krishna speak to you? He asked, and then Revatsananda Prabhu said, when I read this book, Krishna spoke to me. It is not different to take the instruction of the spiritual master or the Vaishnavas. That is directly the delegation of Krishna. So then last couple of points. This is a nice verse from the Bhagavatam that Maharaj mentioned in his class when he was here on Sunday feast class, which is a nice verse. I knew about this verse. It is mentioned here. I'll just read the translation. O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee. And therefore, you are known as a desire tree, Vanshakalpaturu. When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet in order to cross the fierce ocean of nescience, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees that are still on the other side of the shore, suffering threefold miseries, etc., you accept this method to help them. You can understand that verse? Did you get it? That the devotees of the Lord, they take complete shelter of Krishna, and they board the boat of Krishna's lotus feet and cross over the material existence. Oh, what about? Come back. I'm still over on this side suffering, you know, the three kleshas and all these things. You're just going to leave me hanging like that? So it's, no, I'm not leaving you hanging. We left behind a boat that you can cross. So there's this mention here that Krishna accepts that boat, that you can cross by using that boat, the boat for which they have given direction by which we can cross. That means their literatures, their instructions especially. That's the boat to cross over. So there may be many, just like Prachetas, how we will follow example of Prachetas. They meditated underwater for 10,000 years. This is a good example. A good example of sense control, breath control. There's no question of speaking Prajalpa underneath the water, huh? How you will follow that example. You follow that example. You do like that. Okay, not 10,000 years. We know that's too much for you. 10 minutes you follow. 10 minutes you follow that example. No one can do. Therefore, the most recent Mahajans have to be followed. And they speak according to time, place, and circumstance. And then Krishna accepts that particular boat. So there may have been so many boats of so many Mahajans are there. So many Mahajans are there. Always, they will always be there. Huh? But most recent Mahajan, that boat, Krishna accepts that boat. And if you accept that boat, then you can cross over. And you say, this is the Prabhupada Mahajan boat is there, but I like Rupa Goswami. I'll get on that boat. The boat will sink. Because it's 500 years old. It doesn't have the same applicability. You know, it doesn't have the same potency is there, but it's on Prabhupada's boat now. Prabhupada Mahajan, that boat is on. You say, I like Narada Muni. Okay, go for it. Immediately sink down because it's like Kalpa's years old. You know, many Kalpa's boat. You know. So it means the most recent boat, that boat you're supposed to get on, that boat you can cross over. That's what's being mentioned here. Prabhupada says in the purport that this is how Krishna and the devotee work together to save the conditioned souls. So I was going to tell a quick story, this famous story in India of Ekalevya Prabhu. Ekalevya Prabhu is glorified usually for his guru bhakti. The story goes that he was born in a low class and he approaches Dronacharya. Dronacharya is the guru of the Pandavas and the Kauravas race. And he approaches Dronacharya to learn the Dhanurveda, the Veda of how to fight. And because of his low birth, Dronacharya does not give him any instruction. So he goes out to the forest, and with great determination, he constructs a murti of Dronacharya, and he begins practicing archery under the guidance of that murti. This is called Ritvik philosophy. Understand? Under guidance of the murti, they are practicing Krishna consciousness. So then he became very expert at archery. And Dronacharya had given benediction to Arjuna that no one will be greater than you in archery fighting. One day the Pandavas were in the forest. I think they were collecting dakshina for Dronacharya. Anyway, they were in the forest. And one day they saw a dog, his mouth closed shut by like 5 or 7 arrows around the mouth. The dog wasn't killed, just his mouth was shut tight by 5 arrows around. So who can be so expert to do like that? So they were completely astonished. Arjuna said, even I cannot do something like that. That means there is someone who is greater. And then they searched out and they saw Dronacharya just shooting arrows like machine gun. So they saw such expert person. So Arjuna went to Dronacharya and said, he is more expert than me. You said I would be the most expert, but he is more expert than me. It looks like Arjuna a little envious, huh? A little envious. What is this? You have to solve this problem. So Dronacharya went to Ekalevya Prabhu and saw. And then immediately when Dronacharya entered the room, immediately Ekalevya came over, he offered his obeisances. This looks like a very good disciple. And then he says, Guru Maharaj, I'm here at your service. Dronacharya said, oh, you are my disciple? Yes, I am your disciple. Then you should give me guru dakshina. You should give donation. And he said, anything you want. So then Dronacharya asked for his thumb. His thumb. He had to give his thumb. You cut off the thumb, that means he cannot be so expert, right? He immediately gave the thumb. And in this way, the general idea that is known in India is that Eklavya proved his great adherence to Guru Bhakti, great devotion and determination. He became so expert. Arjuna was completely envious, and as a result, Eklavya was ruined by Dronacharya because of Dronacharya's attachment to Arjuna. This is the purport that most people think in India. Bhaktisiddhanta has a different conception. That's pretty heavy. And this is the essence of it that I can present, that I can remember. He says, whatever Bhagavan does, that is always true. Same thing, remember. Whatever Bhakta does, that is also always true. And the principles of bhakti, that is also always true. He said these are three aspects of one principle, one truth. Bhagavan, bhakti, and bhakta. They're always true. So anything that is in line with Bhagavan, bhakti, the principles of bhakti and bhakta, then they are on the truthful platform and not otherwise. So then he goes on to explain. Someone may say, but Dronacharya, Eklavya had great guru bhakti. He showed his great guru, but first of all, he did not follow the order of his guru. He came to this guru, Dronacharya. Dronacharya did not agree to teach him. Actually, the reason he did not agree to teach him because he saw he was infected by great pride. And he wanted to become greater than Arjuna. So that is not a devotional principle. To become great may be considered nice in the estimation of the material world, but it's considered abominable in the devotional arena. So he can see that Dronacharya is expert guru, great devotee. He can see that he did not agree to teach him. Like Krishna says in Gita, do not teach this knowledge to certain people. So Dronacharya did not agree to teach. But Eklavya did not accept that. So he went and did his own program, because of the desire to satisfy his own senses, his egotism. And then someone would say, but when his guru asked for the thumb, he immediately gave the thumb. That is itself evidence of his great guru bhakti. And Bhaktisiddhanta said, this one you have to really think about deeply. And his point was that because Eklavya was a strong moralist, so in principle, you must give guru dakshina. Means he did not have devotion to his guru, he had devotion for the principle. But the principle without the person is maya. It is demoniac, actually, in nature. It's like one time Prabhupada went to a Gita conference. And in the Gita conference, there were shloks of Bhagavad Gita all over the place. There was not one picture of Krishna anywhere. So Prabhupada was walking around. He was just looking for the picture of Krishna, you know? See, devotees are interested in the person. And the karmis are interested in the principles because those are easier to manipulate. When you try to apply principles without persons, then you can manipulate them however you want. When you have to apply the principles in relationship to a person, it's too clear and not at all ambiguous. So Krishna was looking for the person, and he didn't see, where is Krishna? No. So he went to the owner of the place and said, I don't see that you have any picture of Krishna anywhere. And the guy said, we're not interested in Krishna. We are only interested in Krishna's words. Probably this is Asura Baba, this is a demoniac. This is a demon program, and all demons are attending. Oh, very nice, you know, basically. So although it appeared that Eklavya Prabhu was having great guru bhakti by giving his thumb, but actually he was just a moralist. This is Bhaktisiddhanta's point. He just wanted to adhere strongly to the principle. He didn't care anything about Dronacharya. This is the first misconception. So then he goes on to explain that, it is saying that Arjuna was envious, so he went and told Dronacharya. And he proclaims here that actually Arjuna did this to protect the world from the victory of impersonalism. Because had he not informed Dronacharya of this reality of what was going on, how Eklavya had set up a murti and was doing, then people would not have saw it necessary to approach a Mahant guru to learn from him. They will all start constructing their own murtis, and under the guidance of their murtis, that means their false mental concoctions, they will try to apply something. And that way, impersonalism would have become victorious. No one would have saw the necessity to approach devotee to actually gain the real thing. And therefore, Arjuna, in order to protect the world from such a calamity, he went and informed Dronacharya. So then, whatever is against Hari Guru Vaishnav, then that is demoniac. So we see that Guru did not accept him, Dronacharya, Vaishnav did not accept him, Arjuna, and Krishna did not accept him also. Because in the end, in Mahabharata, Krishna kills Ekalivya. He kills Ekalivya. So neither Bhagavan accepted him, neither Guru accepted him, nor Vaishnava accepted him. How is he exalted? Of course, if you tell this story in like Sunday feast, for example, many people get totally bewildered. Because many have great attraction to the story of Ekalivya. It's a famous story told. But Bhakti Siddhanta enlighten us. So the point I'm making here is that following the precept is most important thing for a disciple. But he has to follow that precept with his relationship with the devotee intact. Otherwise, he may be thinking he's following the principles, but he would not make any progress. Because he's not seeing how to follow the principle based on the pleasure of the person who gave the principle. You understand? There's no question of advancement. One may chant Hare Krishna, but you don't chant without the guidance of a devotee, there's no question of advancement. No question. There's too many anarthas blocking the path. This is the meaning of Durdaiva Midrisami Hajini Nanuragaha, that I am struggling by misfortune, therefore I have no taste for chanting holy names. What is this recognition of one's misfortune is to give inspiration to the necessity to follow the process under guidance of Guru. Cheto Darpana Marjana. Bhajan Kriya Nartanivritti. So this is my understanding of this port. Does anyone want to ask anything? Contribute to the discussion? Clarify anything? Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you very much for your class. I have two questions. My first question is from the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says that those who are pious in a previous life and their sinful reactions are destroyed, they can remember me. They can engage in my devotional service. So I was reading recently in Surrender Unto Me, it explains that it's not that piety by itself qualifies them to do devotional service. It's that piety attracts the mercy of the pure devotees, and by their glance, their sinful reactions are destroyed. So I was wondering if I could get a little clarification on what that means. You know, that by their glance, their sinful reactions are destroyed, and that the pure souls are attracted by their piety. And then I have a second question after this one.
By their glands, though? By their glands, they say, come sit for the Bhagavad Gita class. Where are you going? Come back. Understand? So I can speak to you and purify you. Understand? Devotee, he just like Krishna's Prabhupada in the 434 Gita verse, he says, that if one shall approach Krishna with the devotee of Krishna, tattva-darshi, with proper qualities, then he will automatically reveal everything to the disciple. Automatically, how he automatically reveal? He speaks something. Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam mahajana yena gatasapanta. The truth of all those dharma, the truth of religion, of bhakti, is in the heart of that devotee. How you will get it? Now, if you're powerful enough, maybe in the glance itself, things can be translated. But there's a reason Gita is called Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita means song. Song means some words coming out, right? Song, Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada means that Krishna did not give knowledge by giving electric shock, like Ramakrishna. And Vivekananda, was it Vivekananda? I'm not supposed to say names, but this one you should say. Bhadimal Thakur said there's no fault in saying if you need in his essay on Prajapa. He said Ramakrishna gave electric shocks, foul being transferred, loading. and then who is that? Then Vivekananda, oh, I have the knowledge. And Ramakrishna, oh, I have nothing. Prabhupada said, is it like money transaction? I give you money, you don't get anything? No, Krishna does not enlighten in that manner. He enlightens by what? Gita. He sings the song of Bhagavan. Song means words. Words mean we have to hear that vibration, then we become enlightened. So I don't know exactly context. Glance means devotee glances and say, where are you going? Sit for the Bhagavad Gita class. Just like many times people come for darshan in the evening time, and right when Gita class is starting, they start walking out. Hey, where are you? But they don't understand what our glance is saying. They think, oh, he is blessing me, he's blessing me. No, I'm saying you're such a nonsense. Why are you not sitting for the class? You know, hear the vibration. That is the most important thing. It means that the piety being mentioned there in Bhagavad Gita is the same piety that allows for one to hear anything with faith. That's Bhakti Umukhi Sukriti. So by that Sukriti, he develops affinity for hearing from devotees. That means when he contacts a devotee, by the mercy of that devotee, he will have sufficient attraction to hear from them because of sufficient Sukriti. And he's also not engaged in sinful activities. So that's my understanding of that statement.
And I had a second question. You were explaining very nicely how the devotees cross over with this boat and then they leave behind the boat, and that's the boat that Krishna accepts. And you were saying that that means following the instructions of the most recent acharyas, so not going all the way to Rupa Goswami.
Yes.
So there are just two, you know, and you were saying everything that that Ishvara says is true and everything that Bhakta says is also true. So there's just two things of that Prabhupada said that are a little bit confusing for me. You know, because Prabhupada always said, you know, 16 rounds and the four regulative principles and back home, back to Godhead. But Bhaktisiddhanta very much stressed 64 rounds and, you know, so that one is a little bit confusing. Like, what are we supposed to follow? Are we supposed to chant more? Or are we supposed to follow Prabhupada's 16 rounds BTG thing? And then the second thing was also...
Well, just on that point, first of all, Srila Prabhupada, even Bhaktisiddhanta, it was not that everyone was chanting 64 rounds. Many of his preachers also chanted only 16 rounds. Because how they will preach and chant 64 rounds throughout the day, they're very difficult. And they were doing Maha expansion in India, the way the Gaudiya Math was expanding. You know, and it's, you know, you cannot say it is a proper round when you're like moving on the train. It's totally distracting. You know, if you're like, especially in India, you're moving around, and no chanting, non-parat. You know, chanting proper rounds, like sitting in one spot and really chanting properly, how you will do. And if you, especially in city life, you have to preach all these things, how you will do properly, without offense. Not chanting 64 useless rounds, but 64 offenseless rounds, how you will do. To chant one offenseless round is itself very difficult. To chant 64 offenseless rounds, that means basically you should not be doing anything else. And we have so many service, how can you say like that? So even in Gaudiya Math, it's not that everyone chanted 64 rounds. Many, of course, did, especially the sannyasis. But even then, if they were preaching, concession was given them 16 rounds. And even with Srila Prabhupada, he said at least 16 rounds, at least 16 offenseless rounds. Good rounds means offenseless rounds. Understand? 16 offenseless chanting you do. And you serve the mission of the Guru. Without serving Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan mission, no one can hardly think on the strength of their nama-parad, nama-bhas they're going to get. Even their shudanam. Without the assisting Mahaprabhu in spreading Sankirtan movement, they cannot think they will get much out of that. So anyway, how to understand contradictions? So there, even recent Mahajan means our own spiritual masters and guides. They, like we were hearing from Ashrayabhu, Prabhupada said they should know the nature of the disciple. That you know in nature. Oh, why do you want to chant 64 rounds? Why do you want to chant? Why do you want to chant? So you can think that you're God. That is only, you're just like Ram Das Mishra, same mentality. I am great. I am powerful. I am pure personality. That's why, therefore, you chant 16 rounds. Nonsense. Say like that. You chant 16 rounds and you wash a whole lot of toilets. Okay? Until that fire of Utsa Mayi comes down, okay? They have to know the nature. Why you want to do? The devotee has to protect our pure motivations. It's not that we have no pure motivations. We have some pure motivations are there, but we have a lot of impure motivation. The devotee has to protect us from those things. That is what is meant by we should fence the creeper around. Prabhupada says in the purport that means you fence the creeper, bhakti lata creeper, by the association of pure devotees. You have to fence it in that way. So they have to protect. They say, why do you want to do? Just like Avelo Prabhu was telling yesterday. He had found out that we should stay up all night for the Ekadashi. So he went to Rompa Maharaj and asked about that. And Rompa Maharaj said, oh, I have done many times. But next day I continued my service without being disturbed. And then I went to sleep the next evening, you know. So if you can do, but that's me. You know, Maharaj said like that. And then another person said, I can understand that. I'll not be able to do it like that. I will stay up all night, and after Bhagavatam class, I'll sleep for 6 hours, minimum, to recover. He was saying like that. He said, and his realization, Maharaj was telling me indirectly that I'm not able to do like that. I should not imitate. He was saying like that. Also, Prabhupada did not give much emphasis to these things because Western mentality is already very puffed up. Western mentality means the whole material earth planet now, the whole earth planet. So Prabhupada did not give a lot of... One time, I heard like this, it was midnight. Devotees were up all night, and the next day was Ekadashi, and it came to be midnight, and Prabhupada wanted like a particular preparation, was a grain. And the devotee said, Prabhupada, today is Ekadashi, because they had passed midnight, you know? Prabhupada said, oh, we're not fanatics, you know, and he took a particular, you know, how to understand. It's very difficult. Therefore, the guidance is always required. That is always, like I said, whether this is stated or not stated, the operative principle is always proper guidance. So even if in the class they just talk about Krishna only, and they never say anything about Guru, but that's the operative principle. That's the obvious. It's always there. Whether it is stated or not stated, it is always functioning. It is not that in the class it is not there. It may not be explicitly stated, but it is always the functioning principle. So according to our faith in that, we'll get revelation. Understand? Yasya devi pura bhakti yata devi tita guru. Tashati katita yarta prakashante. According to our faith in that, then we'll get revelation about all these things, all the apparent contradictions and so on. That's my understanding. It's pretty straightforward. We have 7 minutes. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. This question is specific for, you know, in our situation, ISKCON. We have the founder, Acharya Srila Prabhupada, and then our individual initiating spiritual masters. So you were mentioning the point that we should not seek to jump over any acharya to take shelter of an acharya previous down the line, like Rupa Goswami, for example. So in our situation, what is...
Yeah, we should follow our gurus. We follow the teachings of Prabhupada under the guidance of our gurus who have relationship with Prabhupada.
So then that's the practical application. But what about the... like taking shelter, praying to... This is one thing I was having difficulty understand, like this prayer from Narottam Das Thakur, Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, Shemor Sampada. But that's not his guru. So then, what's going...
First of all, that particular prayer is is an expression of a very exalted state of consciousness. We cannot say Rupa Manjari is not his guru. In an exalted sense. So, therefore, this one, what is that? Sri Guru Charanirati. That one of Narottam Das Thakur you focus on. Understand? You don't focus on... because if you read Prarthana, that Prarthana prayer book has many prayers. Many other prayers are to the gopis also, many things, but you never see Prabhupada translated those things. They're now translated, we can see them. But there are many prayers where he's on the realized platform of who he is in his constitutional position and so on. But how you will pray that? Sri Rupi Manjari, you're not doing. I am a gopi. And then next life you become woman. Definitely. So you follow this one, Sri Guru Charane Rati, Ese Uttama Gati. First things first. I always like to say this principle. And Manu Shiksha and Raghunath Das Goswami. He says, may I develop, my dear mind, please give up all deceit and develop unprecedented love. Atitaram, unprecedented love. And then he gives a list. What's the first person on the list? Guru. Then the Vaishnavas, then Braja, then the people of Braja, then persons of other sampradaya. He mentions like that. And then Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So when I would tell about this verse of the devotees, I said, first things first, unprecedented love for Guru, already problem, already difficult, isn't it? Unprecedented. That word really bewildered me. I was like, oh man, unprecedented. At least if they said love, I would have felt more hopeful. But it said unprecedented love. then I became a little bit, you know, like, oh man, I'm stuck. So we should, of course, you know, those things are there, and sometimes they may be sung. But then you should understand the things according to, if you want to understand these things, you go to your guru and ask about these types of level of application and so on. But we're not meant to, like I said, it's not that everything that the great souls are doing and saying should be exactly saying in this context of which we're speaking. They've given things for us also, and they have their own expressions also. You understand my point? They've given things for us, and they also have their own expression of love in their relationship with their gurus and God. So there's things for us for the benefit of sadhakas, conditioned souls, and then their own personal, you know, we should not intrude into that. We should not enter into that as false, intruders, you know. Just like devotees, they come and they preach to us mercifully, then they also want time for themselves, you know, to do their own meditations and so on like that. And we should not try to intrude into that space, you know. So similarly, they've given things for us, and they have their own, you know, I don't know how to express it right now, relationship, which they're working on and cultivating like that. We should not try to intrude into that. We should follow the things that are meant for us. Then all things will be revealed, in short. That's what I can say. Okay, 2 minutes. Anyone wants to say anything else? Any other comments, questions, concerns, bewilderments? No? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.